This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Trey, appreciate the time. How you been?
Zach, always great to talk to you, man. What a great weekend we had up at the Country Club at Brookline.
Yeah, and I got to give you a lot of credit because I benefited off your Caesar Sportsbook's odds boost with Will Zalatoris finishing in the top five. That was the easiest money I've ever made.
He's crazy, right? He's a machine on top tens, but I'm sure he's not real satisfied with that right now because that's the second straight major he's come in second place. He lost the PGA in a playoff to Justin Thomas and came up one stroke short of a playoff potentially with Matt Fitzpatrick. And, well, I tell you, I thought that putt was going to go in. And he now has, by the way, this is kind of fascinating, Zach, he has six top 10 finishes in his first nine major starts. Only one other person has done that. It was an Argentine player named Antonio Cerda who did that in the 50s, and he was a sort of a regular in the Open Championship, or as we call it, the British Open, but he never won a major. Like, he was so close a bunch, but he never won a major. And, you know, Will is only 25 years old, and I think he's going to get it done, but at some point that label of, hey, you know, best player to have never won a major, or you're just good enough to not win, becomes a mental thing. And now for Will, you know, for him going forward, and he has one last chance this year at the Open Championship at St. Andrews next month, you know, it's the mental battle as much as anything else because he knows it, he hears it. He even said in his post-game or his post-round press conference, you know, I'm sure the Instagram morons are going to say my putting is because of my left wrist flexion. So, you know, he's dealing with that now. It's part of his resume. It's a process. It's a part of the thing for him, and he's just got to be able to handle that going forward. But I do believe he eventually will break through at a major.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think he has the capability of winning multiple majors one day. He really has just impressed me at such a young age. And you mentioned the putting. He's able to still be this close yet so far with putting that has not been great.
No, you're right. He was flushing iron shots and flushing tee balls. I mean, like, he had to think after the tee shots on 18 where Fitzpatrick pulled it into the bunkers and got a very fortunate hop where it wasn't right behind that island in the bunker, which would have created a completely different shot. And he was in the middle of the fairway. He had to think, I'm going to make birdie, and he potentially may make bogey. So, you know, I might win this thing here or get into a playoff. And Fitzpatrick pulled off, without question, Zach, one of the greatest shots in the history of the U.S. Open on the 18th hole on Sunday. I mean, that was as pure as a bunker shot as I've ever seen to land it within 11 feet of the pin. And he almost rolled it in for what would have been a clinching birdie. I'm sure Will had to think, okay, this is set up now. I'm going to make birdie. He's going to make par or potentially bogey. I'll either win it here or go to a playoff. And Fitzpatrick just made the shot that major champions have to have. You know, you can go back to 1995 at Shinnecock when Corey Pavin used a forward to hit what they called the shot to get on the green and secure his only major victory. There are moments where you have to come through in the clutch, and Fitzpatrick absolutely did in that moment.
You're so right with the shot on 18 after he hits the sand that everyone thought it was going to be him either going to a playoff or maybe Zalatoris winning it outright. And that's really saying something about how great that shot was because I thought the putt that he had on 13, what was it, like 50 feet out for birdie, nothing was going to top that, but then he shut everyone up with what he did on 18.
Correct. And you know, it was the second straight major where we saw those nerves come into play on the 18th tee.
Yeah.
Nito Pereira, you know, at Southern Hills, I still can't look at that swing and not feel like it was a car wreck. you know, and actually pushed it right into the creek on 18. And then for the only error from Fitzpatrick on 18 was to pull it. You know, he had miles, even if he hit it into where the gallery was to the right on 18, he's 100% fine. He put himself in the one spot that created an issue, but kudos to him. You know, he made the bunker shot, and now he joins Jack Nicklaus as the only men's players in U.S. Open history and USGA history, rather, to win both the U.S. Amateur and the U.S. Open on the same course. Jack did it at Pebble Beach, and now Matt Fitzpatrick did it at 2013 at Brookline, and also now this past Sunday at the U.S. Open.
I really thought for a while this was going to be Rory's weekend, and now we've seen back-to-back majors, him come out swinging really good early on, which isn't usually the case. Had a rough round number three there. Do you feel like Rory is just that close to winning a major? Because it's crazy. It's been such a long time since 2014, since his last major victory.
Yeah, listen, he was a killer, right? In 2011, he had that back nine lead at Augusta and then hit the ball where I've never seen it before. Like, he pulled it so hard left on 10 at the Masters in 2011. I had never seen those cabins before on television coverage. And then the very next major, he goes out and sets a USGA record or US Open record at 18 under par. He had made the most birdies at a birdie fest at Congressional that year. But you're right. From then, he went on to win the 2012 a PGA at Kiowa, and then 2014, he stacked two majors back-to-back at Hoylake at the Open and then at Valhalla where he shot down Ricky Fowler. It has been 8 years since he's won a major, and I would have told you that was crazy if you had said after he won at Valhalla, where they finished in the dark and he joined the group ahead of him in Phil Mickelson, that he would have gone 8 years without winning another major.
I would say you're drunk, Trey.
Yeah, and a helicopter just flew over, so I apologize for the sound. But it just didn't make any sense. And here he is now in his prime, stuck in his mid-30s, waiting on major number five. It's just crazy.
Trey Wingo here with us. When we get to Scottie Scheffler, I know he finished in second, but at this point it's like, what else is there to say about this guy other than how great can he eventually become?
Well, look, Scottie Scheffler was a birdie putt on 18 away from getting into a playoff and potentially doing things that only Tiger Woods has done. It would have been his fifth win of the year with two majors. And the list of people that have done that over the years, I think it's Jack once and Tiger like three times. Like, it's just incredible. And Scheffler has that game where nothing about his game makes you go, wow, but everything is good. Like, he's good off the tee. He's good with his irons. He's good with his putting. Like, there's nothing flawed about his game, which is one of the reasons why I thought he was a really good bet at the U.S. Open. Because the U.S. Open, unlike any other major, is just about hitting fairways and greens. Like, if you go back the last 20 years and the scores in relation to par at all four majors, you know, I think the Masters is at like 14 under, the Open Championship is like 11, the PGA is like 10. U.S. Open is 4.5 under par. Like, it's a totally different dynamic. Everyone in golf will tell you, even though they love the Masters and they love the Open Championship because of its history, the hardest major to win is the U.S. Open. And Scheffler's game is just absolutely suited and booted for a U.S. Open. So eventually I think he's going to come through. But it is funny, right? The last couple of times we've seen him out, he lost in a playoff to Sam Burns at Colonial when Sam Burns made a monster putt on the first playoff hole. And he came up one stroke short this past weekend. But Scottie Scheffler is going to win multiple U.S. Opens.
Talking to Trey Wingo right now. When we get to Phil Mickelson, is it age? Is it more so just the mental part of some of the backlash that he's got nationally with joining the LIV Golf Invitational? What is it where you look at Phil and he was 11 over par in the two rounds he played this weekend and obviously didn't make the cut?
Well, you know, his history at U.S. Opens is either incredible or tragic, depending on how you want to look at it. He has six runner-up finishes, you know, and never has got there. And you would have thought his game, of all the majors, like it would have been the U.S. Open, might have been the thing that you would have bet Phil Mickelson would have won. I think it's a combination of everything. Obviously, now, in full quote disclosure and honesty, I played with Phil in the Pro-Am at Century at Kapalua this year, and he played really well, and he was really excited. You know, then the quotes came out about the article about joining LIV, and he's just gone into a shell ever since then. And it's a tough thing because, listen, anybody that's joining the LIV Tour, I have respect for all those players, but they're doing it for one reason.
Money.
They're doing it for the money. Don't tell me it's about growing the game. Don't tell me it's about all this stuff. It's about the money. And, you know, when Dustin Johnson signed on the LIV Golf Tour, Zach, he automatically was wired into his bank account more money than Tiger Woods had ever won in his entire career on the PGA Tour. That's the kind of money we're talking about here. So if you want to be honest about it, just say, hey, they offered me a bleep ton of money and I couldn't turn it down. I understand that, but don't give me this other garbage about, you know, it's a fun format, which I agree. I think it is a fun format. But you're not doing it for the format. You're doing it for the $100+ million that was flushed into your account.
Yeah, if the PGA Tour paid Phil Mickelson $200 million for the rest of his career, the PGA Tour would have a fun format as well.
Correct, exactly.
Let's get a few football points in here before we let Trey Wingo run. The Dolphins, I'm very intrigued by this year, Trey. Tyreek Hill added more intrigue to that with his comments, kind of taking some shots at Kansas City and pumping up his new guy into a Tua Tagovailoa. What are your expectations this year for the Dolphins?
Well, let's deal with the comments first, right? Because not only did Tyreek say he's more accurate than Patrick Mahomes, which, let's just be clear, that is patently false and ridiculous, but I respect him respecting his guy. And Devontae Adams did the same thing with Derek Carr, who said, you know, Derek Carr has a lot of similarities to Aaron Rodgers. And I want to be clear here. I think Derek Carr is a very disrespected and underrated quarterback, but he's not Aaron Rodgers, okay? Like, he's not Aaron Rodgers. Let's just be clear about that. So the Dolphins are very interesting. I mean, they got Teron Armstead to shore up the offensive line. They get Mike McDaniel. They get a bunch of great runners that I think are going to employ his system that he used in San Francisco as the offensive coordinator. But it does come down to Tua, right? They re-sign Jimmy Gesicki. They get Tyreek Hill. If Tua isn't the quarterback they expected him to be when they drafted him in 2020, they're moving on. It is. I'm not sure there's a player in the NFL that has more pressure on him than Tua Tagovailoa this year. And he'll either rise to the occasion or he won't. And then that will dictate what Miami does this year. But they've given him everything he could possibly want. A running game, Raheem Mostert is there. A couple of running backs are there. They got an offensive coordinator or a head coach who was the offensive coordinator in San Francisco, in Mike McDaniel, who understands and appreciates how important the running game is. And they gave him Tyreek Hill. And so if you don't do it now, that's not on anybody else. It's on Tua. And we'll see what happens.
When we look at the rest of that division, would you put Miami as the second best team in that division? Or you still give the edge to the Patriots? Obviously, Buffalo is sitting there at the top.
Listen, I'm going to be the last guy at the party that says the Patriots are done. And I've sort of ridden that wave the last couple of years. Of all the quarterbacks, and we had five of them drafted in 2021, it's clear that Mac Jones was the best out of all of them. That doesn't mean he's going to be the best of all time. But in his rookie year, he was clearly the most successful. And I think that with Bill Belichick there and everything else that goes on in New England, it's hard for me to not say New England is going to miss the postseason. And that means that Tua is going to have to step up and the Dolphins are going to have to step up in a way that's unexpected. They could be much better, by the way, this year than last year, and their record might not be any better. Because, as you said, the Bills are a monster. The Bills have hammered the Dolphins in the Josh Allen era. You go look at the numbers, like, it is a beatdown of massive proportions. And the one problem, that's been the issue for Miami. They can't get past Buffalo in this current regime. And Josh Allen is set up to be everything that everybody wanted him to be when they drafted him in 2018. So Miami is in a tough spot because, I think they can be better, but I'm not sure that record's going to be any better unless Buffalo takes a step back and New England takes a step back in year two with Mac Jones, and I just don't know how that's going to play out.
Like, they could be a 10-win team this year, Miami, and miss the playoffs because it's not only a division. The AFC is loaded.
The AFC West is like an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
What other superstar can we bring in here, right? Devontae Adams to the Raiders, Chandler Jones to the Raiders, Khalil Mack to the Raiders, C.J. Jackson to the Raiders, to the Chargers.
Yeah.
Jackson to the Chargers, who has the most interceptions since he came into the league. Russell Wilson to Denver. And this is all because of one person. It's all because of Patrick Mahomes. Like, people want to dig at Mahomes because they didn't make it to a third straight Super Bowl and he played terrible in the second half of the AFC Championship game, which he did. But there's a reason they've been the host for four straight AFC Championship games, something that the Patriots of the aughts never did, something that the Cowboys of the 90s never did, something that the Niners of the 80s never did, something that the Steelers of the 70s never did. I know Tyreek is a loss, but if you're expecting Kansas City to take a step backwards this year, I think you might be wishing more than wanting, because they're still loaded, and Mahomes is Mahomes. Here's the thing: like, everybody killed Mahomes last year because of that string of six or seven straight games with an interception. He actually got better last year. He didn't get worse. He got better. He was more patient, and the pickup of Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Like, people talk about Juju and all this other stuff. The signing of Marquez Valdes-Scantling is going to pay much longer dividends in my mind in the long run than the signing of Juju Smith-Schuster. He's bigger and faster than people understand. And the kid they got in the draft, Sky Moore, is kind of like Tyreek Hill light. So the AFC West is insane. I wish every AFC West game was in primetime. Every AFC West game was in primetime. But listen, the Chiefs aren't going anywhere. Like, Buffalo's going to have to go through Kansas City if they want to get where they want to go.
So you're still taking Kansas City to win that division is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I am. By the way, this is the greatest nugget of all time. Patrick Mahomes has never lost a road AFC West division game. He's 13-0. 13-0 in the division. This is why this is happening. It's about a one-man cyclone that they're all trying to figure out a way to beat. If you're asking me who I'm going to take, I'm going to take the team that's won it the last 5 or 6 years in a row. Even before Patrick got there, they had a couple of division wins with Alex Smith. So, yeah, I'm taking Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes until someone proves me otherwise.
Two more for Trey Wingo before we let him run. AFC North, right now, who do you give the edge to win that division?
Well, you have to go into the season looking at Cincinnati. They did a massive job of upgrading their biggest weakness, the offensive line. Pittsburgh is going to have all kinds of questions until they settle on a quarterback, whether it's Mitchell Trubisky or Kenny Pickett. And I'm telling you, don't be surprised if it's Mitch Trubisky coming out of the gate, because all the people that were around him in Buffalo last year as a backup have raved about him. He was in a bad situation in Chicago. There's a reason Matt Nagy's no longer the head coach there. There was a bunch of dysfunction. I think Mitch Trubisky is going to surprise a lot of people in Pittsburgh. So look for that situation to maybe go Trubisky's way early. But you have to favor Cincinnati. Although the odds of them getting back and making a deep run, history doesn't tell us that's going to happen. They had kind of the flukiest run to the Super Bowl of all time. I mean, the Raiders were in a position to win the wild card game, and they got by that one. And then there was the divisional round situation where, it went down to a late interception by Ryan Tannehill, and they made the most of it after that. And that the first half of if the Chiefs just kick a field goal at the end of the first half in the AFC Championship game, that game probably ends up with Kansas City going to a third straight Super Bowl. So I think you have to start with Cincinnati, although I would not expect them to have the run they had last year in the postseason. It was kind of quirky.
Yeah, I think Baltimore is going to be tremendous this year just because they're going to be healthy.
Absolutely. Zach, great point. Like, they were hammered by injuries last year. You know, even before they got to the season, they lost their top two running backs. So, yeah, Baltimore is going to be much better than they were in 2021.
I got to just get back to something that you said about Trubisky, because everyone's trying to pump up Trubisky that I talked to. If they said that Kenny Pickett was the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft class, isn't that concerning if he can't beat out Trubisky?
Yeah, it'll be a problem. Absolutely. Like, it's kind of like the Jordan Love situation, right? The Packers moved up in the first round to get Jordan Love in 2020. It's not like he fell to them. Like, Aaron Rodgers fell to the Packers in 2005, and they basically said, we got to take him. He's right there. The Packers made a conscious decision to move up and take Jordan Love. And that draft pick is going to go down as one of the worst draft picks in the history of the Green Bay Packers. And it's nothing against Jordan Love. They just re-signed Aaron Rodgers to a contract extension, which means, barring injury, Jordan Love will never start for the Green Bay Packers as a first-round pick in 2020. That's a terrible waste of a commodity. It just doesn't make any sense. And everyone thought they were going to move on, and then Aaron Rodgers won back-to-back MVPs, and suddenly, guess what? He has all the leverage. He has all the leverage that the Browns don't have with Baker Mayfield. And that dictates everything. And that loss of a draft pick is really something that may haunt the Packers when it's all said and done, because they had a chance to get somebody else that could help them, and instead they went and thought they got the guy they thought would replace Aaron Rodgers, and guess what? Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere.
Last one before we let you run, the NFC East. I'm leaning Eagles right now. Do you take the Cowboys or the Eagles, or maybe even looking at one of the other two teams of that division?
Well, I'm ruling out the Cowboys based on history, because nobody has repeated as the NFC East champ since 2002. That was when the Eagles won the division four straight years. Since then, nobody has repeated as NFC East champ. So by history, Dallas is out, and I think they've gotten worse with the loss of Amari Cooper. You know, the Cooper-Dak Prescott connection was incredible and intense, but because of the Ezekiel Elliott contract, which made no sense, they couldn't afford to keep him. So, yeah, I think I'd go Philadelphia, although that's also fascinating, Zach, because Jalen Hurts is in a position where the Eagles can say, hey, you know, do well this year, or we're going to move on. With the trades that they've made over the last couple of years with Miami and a couple of other people in Tennessee this past year, Howie Roseman, the GM, has done an amazing job. Basically, they have all kinds of leverage and possibilities with first-round picks in the 2023 draft where they can go get a quarterback. And by the way, which is going to be a much richer quarterback draft class than it was in 2022. You know, Bryce Young out of Alabama and a couple of other guys are going to be there. And we could have potentially five or six quarterbacks go in the first round in 2023. So Howie Roseman has set his team up to be like, okay, either Jalen Hurts performs and we have all this other capital we can use somewhere else, or if Jalen Hurts doesn't perform better than we saw him in that loss to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady in the postseason, we can go get our guy and we'll be in good shape. So I would absolutely agree with you that Philadelphia, I think, is got to be the front runner going into this season.
It's so funny because Miami and the Eagles with the Tua and Jalen Hurts just connection and the storyline, they're kind of in similar spots where the rosters are really damn good. We just don't know about the quarterbacks.
Right, and that you're right. That goes back to college. I mean, it was at halftime
of the national championship
game. The national championship game where it wasn't working with Jalen against Georgia, and Jake Fromm was the quarterback for Georgia, where Nick Saban made one of the ballsiest moves of all time, benching him for Tua, and Tua went out there and got it done with that incredible throw in overtime. So, yeah, those two players, Jalen and Tua, will forever be tied, whether they like it or not.
Trey Wingo, appreciate the time. You're the best as always. Thanks for making a few minutes here.
You got it, Zach. Anytime, buddy.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.